Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, and welcome to the creative field. My name is Jeannie Martin, and I am your host here on bbsradio.com every second Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, rain, shine, snow, sleet, always here. The creative field is here to bring you a variety of positive solutions and perspectives for the future of humanity on planet Earth. When people look at our world, they ask the question, what can we do now? And the hope is that we can provide ideas and wisdom from a variety of guests who are doing things right on the ground to help humanity move forward in positive ways. Through their efforts, they are raising the global consciousness to new levels and providing examples for all of us to follow. We are here on BBS Radio because of the support of our sponsors, the Emissaries of Divine Light, British Columbia, and Edenvale Retreat Center here in beautiful Abbotsford, BC. Edenvale is a beautiful retreat and conference center that is available for groups worldwide, with an atmosphere that feels just like home. We have home-cooked meals, a wonderful staff, and 117 acres of beautiful natural land to enjoy and to make your stay a very special experience. So please visit our website at www.edenvaleretreat.ca and have a look around at the facilities, the land, and the upcoming events that you might wish to attend with us. Before I introduce our special guest tonight, I would like to invite you to call in with your questions or your comments by dialing 888-627-6008. This is a free call from anywhere in the world, so please join us. Your input is greatly appreciated, and your thoughts are very valuable. So I am very pleased to introduce our guest tonight, Jean Douglas Webb. Jean is a member of the Abbotsford area Go-Go's, one of 250 groups of volunteer grandmothers across Canada who support the work of the Stephen Lewis Foundation, Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign, supporting grandmothers in Africa who are raising their grandchildren because the parents have died of AIDS. Jean and I met about 2 years ago through the work of the Go-Go's, which means grandmother in Zulu. And as I have watched the amazing work that has been done by these wonderful women and the Stephen Lewis Foundation, I am delighted to have her with us to share her experience with the Go-Go's and what is being accomplished through the Stephen Lewis Foundation on behalf of African grandmothers and the children that they are raising. So, welcome, Jean.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jeannie. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, and I'm so pleased that you could be with me. As a grandmother of 8 grandchildren, I have a deep feeling of love for my grandchildren, and I know that grandmothers across the planet must have that same love. I also know how blessed we are to be able to see our grandchildren grow and thrive in this country. I just can't imagine the hardships that the African grandmothers face, losing their own children and then struggling to provide for their grandchildren. So in order to support the future on planet Earth, we must realize that every person is as valuable as the next, no matter where they live on Earth. And every person has the right to shelter, food, and ongoing support and love in their lives. I know that the Go-Go's are a strong force in providing those necessities to the African families, the grandmothers that are looking after all of those little children. And I am so pleased to hear how the work and the devotion of the Go-Go's is making a difference. So perhaps we could start by having you tell us about the Stephen Lewis Foundation and how it began.
Okay, well, Stephen Lewis is a Canadian politician, diplomat, and international envoy for humanitarian efforts. He has dedicated himself to improving the human condition. He's just an amazing Canadian humanitarian. And for a period of time between 2001 and 2006, he was the United Nations Special Envoy for HIV/AIDS in Africa under the UN Secretary Kofi Annan. He saw the devastation that the HIV/AIDS pandemic was causing in so many countries all throughout the continent, but particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. And the story that I've heard is that he came home one day and sat with his daughter at her kitchen table, and they talked, what can we do? What can we do? And they decided to set up a foundation and start to get some money in and distribute that money to African grassroots projects in the hope that they would be able to ease the pain a little bit, do something to make some changes. So they did that. They set up the foundation. Money started pouring in. And people in Canada, they know of Stephen Lewis, and we all trust and respect him. Money came into the foundation that started getting sent out to these projects. And then in 2006, in March of 2006, on the eve of International Women's Day, Stephen Lewis announced what he was calling the Grandmother to Grandmother campaign. And he challenged Canadian grandmothers. He called on all of us to support our African sisters. And so we did. We did by the hundreds. We did by the thousands, actually. And now across Canada, in the period of 6 years, there are approximately 250 groups of Canadian grandmothers and what we call grandothers. And that's somewhere between 5 and 10,000 women.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How do the grandmothers, the Go-Go's, raise money to support the work that's being done? How do they do that?
Well, we do it in just as many ways as you can possibly think of. We hold bake sales, we make crafts and sell them at markets, we have benefits, music concerts, artistic performances. There are so many talented women out there doing amazing artwork. So they're doing the artwork and selling that and raising money that way. We're holding auctions. We're holding dinners. It's all up to the imagination of every woman in every group across Canada what they do to raise money.
Well, and so how does, you know, I'm asking this question perhaps for some of our listeners. How does the money reach the grandmothers in Africa? How do we know that that's where it goes?
Well, what we do as individual groups, we raise the money. We send the money directly to the Stephen Lewis Foundation. Anyone who donates $20 or more will receive a charitable tax receipt from the foundation. And we just trust and we are assured that the money gets directly to the grassroots projects. The projects are, they'll send in proposals, and there's maybe 200 proposals across the executive director, that's Alana, Stephen's daughter, across her desk every month. All the proposals are deeply looked into. They make sure everything is in order, that they have the bank account, that the project actually does exist. They have field representatives in Africa who will check all this out. And then once a project has been approved for funding, then the money will be directly deposited into the project's bank account within just a few business days. So it goes directly. There's no middle.
I see.
It just goes directly into the bank account of the grassroots projects. And these are African projects. The foundation doesn't have an office anywhere in Africa. It's the African field representatives who are working there and checking out the projects that come in, and then the money goes directly to them.
There's also, I don't know whether it's a part of or separate from your part of the organization that sort of maybe spun off called GRAN, G-R-A-N. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, that is the advocacy network. About 4 years ago, there was a group of women who were part of grandmothers groups who formed what they called the National Advocacy Committee. And these women were more involved in political advocacy. So they were calling on the Canadian government to make changes in the legislation around getting generic drugs to Africa. And that was their stream of work. That's what they were interested in doing. And they've been doing that for 4 years, but it's become time for it to become its own entity. So that is now, it's called GRAN, and it's its own entity, and they will continue doing their advocacy work, very important work. But it's now separate from the Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign.
I'm wondering if you know if they're making any inroads to the government, whether they're...
Well, what I just heard recently is that this bill called CAMR, C-A-M-R, is back before Parliament. And so there'll be a lot of activities around getting that approval in the next weeks through that GRAN group.
And is there anything that people can do to support them? Can they?
Well, I'm not involved in that directly myself, or our group isn't involved in that directly. So the best thing to do if people are interested is to just go to the Internet and look up Grandmothers Advocacy, and it'll come up as the Grandmothers Advocacy Network, GRAN. You can look and see what they're doing and what they ask to do. Sometimes there's postcards to send to members of Parliament. This is all work done here in Canada. It's not global work. It's here in Canada. And there could be things that they would ask you, political actions to take, that kind of thing.
So in the time that Stephen Lewis himself, when the Grandmothers campaign, Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign, when did you say that started?
It started in March of 2006.
2006, and how much money have the grandmothers raised in that time?
Believe it or not, the grandmothers in the 6 years have raised $13.5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that something? And that's from those kind of fundraisers that I was telling you about. Craft sales, bake sales, performances, auctions, all across the country. And
I know
that's money.
That's utterly amazing. And that's just in Canada.
That's just in Canada.
Wow. There's
such a need, though, for resources. The grandmothers in the sub-Saharan African countries, they know what they need, and they know what to do and how to do it. But what they're lacking is money. And so that's our most important thing to do, is to get the money over to the grassroots projects so that they can do what they know how to do and what they need to do.
And how
when you
are,
really, pardon
sorry,
me,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you really think about it, when you think about the AIDS pandemic and how it's spread throughout Africa and it's been going on for a long time now, the grandmothers are the ones who picked up the pieces, who saw what was happening, and their own children have died and left behind so many millions. The numbers are hard to imagine when you think about 15 million children who have been orphaned because of HIV/AIDS. And the grandmothers are the ones who have taken it on themselves to raise these children. And they're not only their own grandchildren, they're other children in the family or friends or children in the community that have nobody. And they take them on, you know, and these women are in their 60s, 70s, some of them even in their 80s. And they're not just taking on two or three. They're taking on 8, 10, 12, 15 children. And, you know, trying to put them through school, trying to feed them, trying to clothe them, trying to do all the things that we do with little children. It's just astounding what these women do. Just amazing. So what they really need is just our financial help.
Right. And in your experience, how are the funds that are sent over there, how do they make a difference for the grandmothers and the children?
Well, you can see it really making a difference. The grandmothers, for so long, just weren't really noticed. There were projects starting that were helping the orphan children. So there would be programs for the children to go into at these various projects. But the grandmothers would be sitting outside, maybe under a tree, waiting for the end of the day to take the children back to their homes. But they weren't getting anything themselves. And these are, I can't imagine the grief of losing your children. It's, you know, you're supposed to go first when you're the oldest one. Your children aren't supposed to go ahead of you. And I just can't imagine how that must be. And then they're left with these little ones. So the grandmothers were noticed by the foundation that there was something going on there that they weren't quite understanding. So they talked to the people at the projects to find out, you know, why do you need this funding for this, whatever it happened to be? And it would be, well, it's for the grandmothers. So it was like an epiphany at the foundation. The grandmothers, tell us what they need and we'll do what we can. And so that's when Stephen Lewis announced the Grandmothers Campaign, and that's where money was definitely focused towards the grandmothers to help them raise all those orphan children.
So it
does make a difference. The grandmother who's been sitting under the tree just grieving for her own children is now in a program where she maybe gets a meal every day, where she's learning income-generating projects, where she's connecting with other grandmothers who are going through the same thing. She's maybe learning farming practices, that kind of thing. Getting healing therapy through art and music and drama, that kind of thing. Many, many changes for the grandmothers.
That is absolutely wonderful to hear. Educational programs, are they able to use part of this money to educate them about AIDS itself?
Oh, yes, that's definitely part of it. Definitely part of it is all about HIV and how to protect yourself and how to protect your grandchildren. There's education and counseling about prevention. There's care and treatment. They distribute food and medication. They have home-based care workers who will go into homes and help with the people who are sick. They help these vulnerable children get access to education. They support the grandmothers in their grieving and all, just as many ideas as you can think of, these projects are doing. Whatever the need is, they try and fill that need.
And have any of the Canadian grandmothers been able to go to Africa?
Yes, actually that's happened twice. The first time was in 2008 when 12 Canadian grandmothers went on an educational tour to, I believe, three different countries, Uganda and South Africa, and I can't remember one other country, Swaziland. And they were there to see the organizations that were doing so much for the African grandmothers, to see it firsthand, and to also see that the African grandmothers were were moving beyond just their basic survival, and they were forming their own peer support groups. They were planting community gardens. They were receiving health care. Their grandchildren were being enrolled in school, all those kinds of things. So the Canadian grandmothers had the opportunity to see that. But one thing I want to mention right off when we talk about Canadian grandmothers going to Africa with the Stephen Lewis Foundation, any grandmother from Canada who goes pays their own expenses totally. The air flights to get over there are donated by through Aeroplan. So people can donate the Aeroplan miles, and those miles will be donated to the Stephen Lewis Foundation. In fact, there's a day coming up, May the 14th, I believe it is, when Aeroplan will double any miles donated for the Stephen Lewis Foundation. They will double them. So it's a good day if you have extra Aeroplan miles, and lots of people and companies do. Their Aeroplan miles they're never going to use, and so they donate them. And then the foundation uses them to fly people back and forth from Africa, between Africa and Canada, and between African countries. So that was one trip in 2008. And then in May of 2010, 42 Canadian grandmothers went to South Africa and Swaziland. And I was so fortunate to be one of those 42 grandmothers.
Oh, wow.
It was just an amazing experience.
Oh, tell me.
It's almost hard to talk about. It was so profound. But it was a gathering of 500 African grandmothers from 12 African countries gathered for a conference in Manzini, Swaziland. The reason it was considered international, even these are all separate countries, but in Swaziland, it wasn't going to get a lot of attention until Canadian grandmothers were also there, because they, for some reason, having Canadian grandmothers there made it really international, although it was international already, if you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So 42 of us from across the country, from Newfoundland to the Yukon, we joined together with 500 African grandmothers. It was the most amazing experience. We were a week in Johannesburg to start with, and we were able to visit some of the projects in the Johannesburg area. And then on the weekend after that, we took a bus to Manzini, Swaziland, where we took part in an amazing conference. There were 18 different workshops organized by the African projects. And this was the first time that grandmothers, say, from Lesotho would know that a grandmother in Kenya was experiencing the same problems. So they were able to get together and to share together and to talk about how they were coping. The amazingly innovative things that they were doing, their income-generating projects that they were all involved in, all these different things they were able to talk about in this conference. It was just astounding. And we Canadian grandmothers were there to kind of see what was going on. We sat back in the workshops and listened, and it was just powerful. It was just powerful what these grandmothers were doing and what these projects were doing with them. And they came at the end of the gathering, they came out with a statement that's known as the Manzini Statement, and it's like a clarion call to the world to recognize and to support the grandmothers across Africa who are just doing everything to hold their families, their communities, and their continent together. So it was profound.
It must have been a real life-changing event for you.
Oh, it definitely was. It definitely was. I had never in the world imagined that I'd ever get to Africa. But like I said, we paid our own expenses once we were there, our own hotel, our food, everything, our bus travel to Manzini. We all individually paid our own way. And just to take part in this thing was indeed profound. Those African grandmothers, they sang. It was just amazing. If you can imagine 500 or more of us, more than 500, actually, the one night we were there, there were many, many community people from Manzini joined in for the first dinner. And the Swaziland is a kingdom, and the Queen Mother attended the evening. So there was the big, long table of the dignitaries. There was the Queen Mother was there, and the Deputy Prime Minister, and the Prince, and other people. And then the woman who did most of the organizing the event, her name is Sipiwe Hope, and she was there. Alana Lansberg-Lewis was there. Many, many people at the head table, and it was just a wonderful evening of getting together and celebration to start the whole event, and then the workshops the next day, and then on the Sunday, it must have been close to 2,000 people marched through the streets of Manzini, holding signs, you know, pensions for grandmothers, listen to the grandmothers, anything, health care for grandmothers. It was an amazing experience.
Oh, I can't even imagine, and it must have been a pretty mind-blowing experience for the grandmothers there as well.
I think it was for everybody, and there was so much singing and dancing. Like, we Canadians are pretty darn straight-laced, really, when you think about it. They are just dancing over there, those grandmothers and the workers. Everybody was dancing and singing and hugging and talking and laughing. Of course, there's also the crying and the difficult parts of it all, but there was also such a sense of we're getting somewhere. You know, we're celebrating, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, it must be... I'm sorry, Jean, go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I was just going to say it must be very challenging as well for the children as their grandmother's age, and knowing that the grandmothers are holding those families together. Is there support for those children as their grandmothers pass away?
Absolutely. Like, if the grandmother is part of a project, there's going to be support for the children. And the grandmothers, they don't want to die. That's their biggest thing. You know, I don't want to die. I've got to raise these children. And they're amazingly strong, these women. You know, it's like you do what you have to do. You have to do it, so you do it. And with these children, they're just doing it in the best way they possibly can. But, yes, it is going to happen. I mean, we all get older and we do go. But there is support for those children within the projects, for sure.
Oh, that's good to know. And I'm wondering, just a question, where's all the men?
Where are all the men? Well, actually, yep. I don't know that much about AIDS, so I can't say too much, but it's usually the men who die first. You know, there's going to be a family, and the father will die. The mother will be infected. She'll live a little bit longer, and then she'll die. So there's, but there are many amazing men in Africa. You often are asked that question, where are the men and what are they doing and why don't we hear about them? Well, I'm hearing about amazing men who have started incredibly wonderful projects in Africa. There's one that we heard about in November called Dalanati, and it's art, music, drama, therapy, healing program for grandmothers and children and community members. And we met one of the male project workers, just an amazingly caring, extremely intelligent and knowledgeable young man who loves the grandmothers beyond belief. So that was one we met. There's a project in, I believe it's Uganda, the Phoebe Educational Fund for Orphans was started by three brothers who had become orphans. Their parents had died of AIDS, and Phoebe was the name of their mother. They started a project which has become amazingly huge, and serves many grandmothers, many vulnerable and orphan children and people in the community. So there's lots of them. There's lots of stories about the African men and the wonderful things that many of them are doing.
That's good news. That's
yeah.
Really good news, because also then they can provide that education. That the AIDS pandemic, I guess, if you want to call it, there's got to be a time when the tide turns, and hopefully through all of these children, that tide will turn. It certainly will be the hard way, though, won't it?
Yes, well, the education is happening in all the projects. You know, the young people, there's teenagers now, the orphan children who are teens now and young adults, they've received lots of education and counseling around HIV prevention. You know, so that's happening in all these projects. But that's one thing we need to do, is always get more money over there, because the more money, the more work they can do, the more people they can reach.
Yeah, yeah.
And the large dumps of money, the big amounts of money from the large groups, like the PEPFAR, the President's Fund from the United States, that's flatlined. You know, with the economic thing that happened in 2008, a lot of the bigger funders have either flatlined their funding or dropped it. So there's not as much of that money getting over to Africa anymore. You know, the Global Fund to fight AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, it's not being increased as it should be. There are very few countries who are paying their fair share, and Canada certainly, I don't believe, paying its fair share.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the money to the grassroots is really what's making the difference. That's what's going to turn the tide, is more money getting to the grassroots projects, to the people who know what to do and how to do it. They're the experts, not those AIDS conference people.
Right.
It's the people who are on the ground, who see the disease, who have dealt with the disease, who know what to do. And that's who needs to get the money.
I'm just wondering, too, with such an amazing, outpouring from the Canadian grandmothers and the amount of support that they've generated in such a short time, if there's any hope to inspire other countries to create grandmother groups to do the same. Is there any inroads in that way that you know of?
That I don't know of. I don't know of that at all. I'm just aware of the Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign here in Canada. And the Stephen Lewis Foundation, you know, the income tax, receipts, that kind of thing, donations, charitable donations, that's because it's Canadian Foundation. I don't think they can give receipts to people from, if they donated to that foundation from other countries. I'm not sure how all that part works. I really shouldn't talk about it. But
mm-hmm.
We are focused here on the Grandmothers Campaign in Canada.
Right.
Need to do is step up our efforts and raise more money. The money's there. You know, we've all got bits of money we can donate. I had a birthday party and I raised, $3,300. Like, that's amazing. Don't you think? Isn't that amazing? I turned 65, so I decided I'd throw myself a party. I threw myself a party and asked people to make donations. And we raised $3,300.
What a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Well, you know why I did that? Because I was one of the first of the baby boomers. I turned 65 last year, and so I was born in 1946, the year following the end of the Second World War, when the baby boomer thing started happening. So I'm one of the first ones who turned 65, and I thought, what a great way to raise money. I'll just either ask people for a $65 donation, which I did, and some people donated that, or I suggested people could donate $65 from that wonderful old age pension check we all get a month after we turn 65. I held a party and asked people to donate. And that came in the form of fives and tens and twenties and handfuls of change and whatever, and it all amounted to $3,300.
Oh. Brilliant.
So, you know, we're all thinking of different ways to raise money. And,
yeah.
you know, when you're having fun, it's easy to make a donation. It's really easy. Give up a couple of lattes or something, you know.
Yeah, no
throw the
kidding.
Money in the pot. Yeah.
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 Miss a couple of trips to Starbucks and you got it.
You sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, have any of the grandmothers from Africa been able to travel to Canada?
Yes, the foundation has brought Africans over several times. Our group started in 2008, and so there were some visits before that that I didn't know about, but I heard about them later. I've met African grandmothers out here in BC, and then several times there have been some that have been taken to Toronto. That's where the foundation's office is, in Toronto. Last year, in May, the foundation put on an amazing concert called Hope Rising, and my partner and I went to Toronto around the same. We were going for something else, but we made it fit in with this concert so we could go to it, and it was held at the Sony Center, and it was an amazing concert with Alicia Keys and many performers, just an amazing concert. And there were several grandmothers from Africa were there. And when you go on the Stephen Lewis website, you can work your way through and find a little YouTube video that has the African grandmothers singing. Now, these are ordinary women. And these ordinary women got up on the stage of the Sony Center and sang an amazing, powerful song together as part of the opening of the concert. It was quite incredible. So the foundation would use Aeroplan Miles to bring them over, and then they would, you know, have them, whatever they're brought over to do. So there was that time. November, we had people from the Dalinati project that I told you about came to an event in Vancouver. The other thing that happened was what was called the Afrogran Caravan, where three sets of a grandmother and a granddaughter, not necessarily related, traveled across Canada, starting in the Maritimes, all the way out to Vancouver Island. Three different sections, so the three different pairs. They did come through Abbotsford. We had two events, one at the University of the Fraser Valley and one at the Abbotsford Collegiate. And this was an idea of a way to create a forum for Canadian communities to hear directly from the grandmothers and the young women who were so affected by the pandemic, and to hear about the community-based efforts that were happening to turn the tide of AIDS. And there's little videos about that caravan as well on the website. There's so much information on the Stephen Lewis Foundation website. But that was quite an amazing tour. There were about 80 events across the country. And like I said, at the university, they were in town halls, churches, libraries. The African grandmothers and the granddaughters shared extremely and very deep personal stories. They also shared how they, the strategies that they had to bring themselves out of that, their triumphs. The young woman that we had here in Abbotsford, she'd had to leave school when her mother died when she was 12, to keep her younger siblings in school and to look after them. So she was telling us that story. That's a very hard and painful story, telling about when her mother died and when she was nursing her. And her dream was to become a nurse. But she wasn't in school. She hadn't been in school since she was 12. But as a result of this amazing caravan and what happened, we've heard recently that this young woman is now in school. So it's those kind of things that are going to turn the tide.
Right. I'm going to take this opportunity to remind people that they can call in and ask any questions or make some comments if they wish, just to call 888-627-6008. That's a free call from anywhere in the world, so please join us if you have any questions or comments. And I, you were mentioning the local group, the Abbotsford group. And tell me a little bit about that, because I live in Abbotsford and you live in Abbotsford.
Exactly. We're called the Abbotsford Area Go-Go's because we encompass more than just Abbotsford, Abbotsford and its outlying areas. We started up in March of 2008. Stephen Lewis was scheduled to speak at the University of the Fraser Valley, and I'd always been really just very respectful of the man, and the opportunity to hear him speak live was incredible. Before that, I'd been looking, I'd retired recently, and I was looking for something to do, and I'd heard about the Grandmother's Campaign, but I wasn't really involved in it yet. Another local woman from Abbotsford was also interested, and so the foundation actually, we both made inquiries separately, and the foundation connected us together. So we connected up with what's known as the Greater Van Gogh's, which is like an umbrella group throughout the Lower Mainland. And they connected us with them, and we set up an information table at the university when Stephen Lewis was speaking. And we had brochures and information from the foundation just to say what the Grandmother's Campaign was. And we had a sign-up sheet, and 28 women signed up. And so within a month, we set up an information session. We had someone come out to talk to us, and we've been going since then. We meet every month between September and June, and right now we usually have two reasonably sized fundraisers every year, one in the spring and one in the fall. So that's what we do. We're an eclectic group, great variety. A lot of us didn't know each other when we joined, and we all get along wonderfully well. And have a great time at our meetings and have fun organizing fundraisers. So that's how we started. We just keep on going.
How can people, first of all, I guess, do you have to be a grandmother to join?
No, you don't. You can be a grandother. You can be somebody who has, crossed paths with a grandmother sometime during your life. it can be, you don't have to be a grandmother. But most of the groups are made up of older women. But you don't have to be.
And how do people become involved? Like if they want to join an existing group in their area, what would they do?
Well, you have to find out that there is a group first, and there's a couple of ways to find out. Some groups are very vocal in their community, and it's easy to find who they are. Some are not as vocal. So there is the Greater Van Gogh's has a website, and it's called just that, greatervangogh's.org. And the groups in the areas are listed there. So that's one way to find out if there is a group in your community, and then they'll give you the contact information, and then you can go from there. Another way is to contact the Stephen Lewis Foundation, and they will tell you where the local groups are.
And if you didn't have one in your area, you could start
one? You can start one, and it's easy. It's really easy. A new group just started up in Chilliwack. A new group just started up in Mission. And I believe there's going to be a new one in Langley. And it just takes someone who's willing to just step forward to start it. And the foundation gives you a lot of support, and the Greater Van Gogh's give you a lot of support. So you just gather some like-minded women together, and you've got a group. It doesn't take much at all. And then you're on your way.
I remember, I've moved since then, but when I first was introduced to the Go-Go's was in White Rock. Mm-hmm. And it was just an amazing gathering. And then very shortly, unfortunately, I moved from that area. But I keep in touch as much as I possibly can, and I get all the newsletters that are sent out, and I'm just utterly amazed at the energy that all of you put out. I mean, there's always something going on. No wonder those millions of dollars are coming from everyone, and that's no small task. But I can see by being at some of the events that the Go-Go's have participated in, that they're really loving the work that they're doing. You can see the passion.
Yes. I think we all feel it. And I think what makes it kind of special is the relationship we have with the African grandmothers. It's not like charity. It's more solidarity. You know, we feel they are our sisters, and we'll do anything for them. So we respect them as equals. They know what they need. They know how to do it. They have the expertise. They just need the money. And so there's that equality happening there. It's not the a donor recipient kind of idea. It's more an equal thing. You've got that, we've got this, we'll give you this, and then you do what you need to do with it.
And is there any upcoming events that people might attend and support the Go-Go's at that you're aware of at this time? Something coming up maybe even in the spring or the summer?
Well, for our group here in Abbotsford, we're at the very early stages of joining with Chilliwack to do a fundraiser in Rider Lake. And that is going to be put on by some residents in Rider Lake there who do an event called Name That Tune. And they're going to put on the event for us. But there's very little information yet out about it. Don't know the date or anything like that yet. But more information will come as we talk more about it.
Mm-hmm. I can't help but feel, too, here we are on BBS Radio, and people can be listening to this from anywhere in the world.
Amazing.
I would just like for anyone who's anywhere, if you have the power to start a foundation, if you have the ability to gather people together, no matter where you are on this planet, you can certainly hear that there is a huge need. And it's not like, you know, I don't like to think that people get bored with the idea that, oh, it's just AIDS. This is a whole country that is suffering, children that are suffering. And I'd like the Canadian grandmothers to provide that example. I don't care if you live in Switzerland or Australia or wherever you are. If we can do it here and start with a kind and wonderful man like Stephen Lewis, then I'd like to be able to imagine that it can be done anywhere on the planet. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you've got a point there for sure. I think there's a lot of people, though, doing a lot of things all over the world. You know, we don't always hear about them. People doing little things that make a real difference. That's why I like your program, that's what you talk about. People making a difference.
That's why I'm so thrilled to have you on this program. I don't know how many people that are listening have even known about the Go-Go's. Obviously, there are a lot because it's a going force. It's a moving force. But any person who might be hearing this for the first time, good works are going to be done from that, I am sure.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your experience in your heart through being with the Go-Go's in the time that you've been with them?
It's just the most amazing thing to be part of. It's changed my life totally. I guess when I retired, I didn't know really what I was going to do. I knew I'd try and find something because you don't just get older and stop doing anything. You know, I've got my own personal things I do, my garden and that kind of thing. But once I got involved in the grandmother's campaign, it's just so life-enhancing. I don't know how to really explain it. It's just, it's just the right thing to do. It just feels like the right thing to do. I've got two grandchildren, and my grandchildren live here. They live in the Vancouver area, and they can have and do whatever they want. You know, and they're so lucky. Their parents are alive. There's no horrendous disease spreading here. In fact, you know, we have the medicines in this country that HIV is no longer a death sentence. Well, in many countries in Africa and in other places around the world, it still is a death sentence because there's a lot of people who are still not getting the medication. The medications are not getting there. And there's lots of political things around all that. So, you know, seeing my grandchildren and knowing that there are grandchildren on the other side of the world, on the continent of Africa, and mostly in the sub-Saharan countries, there are children whose parents have died. There are children who are HIV positive themselves. And it's just by accident of birth that they're there and my grandchildren are here. You know, so it's that we must help each other throughout this entire planet. We just must do it if we want to move forward and be anything more than self-centered individualists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I hear you. We know, coming from a country like Canada, we sometimes, you know, you take it for granted and don't realize the blessings that we actually have. Like you say, look at your grandchildren, like I look at mine, and you know, I guess their biggest concern in life is, gee, I want an iPod.
Yeah.
And, you know, when there's one grandmother looking after 15 kids, and how do you feed them?
Exactly.
And you know,
exactly.
Something else that I keep hearing that I don't want people to misunderstand, when you say that they sing and they seem to smile, it's not because life is easy.
No.
But there's a spirit, isn't there? There's a spirit inside of them.
Yes, absolutely. And you take joy in what you've got. You celebrate the good things. It's a different way of looking at life and the world, I think.
Yeah. So people can donate directly then to the Stephen Lewis Foundation. Where is head office for that?
The easiest way to make a donation to the foundation is just to go to the website and do it online. That's the easiest. And it's just www.stephenlewisfoundation, all written out, and it's PH in Stephen, not a V, .org. And it's a wonderful website, very easy to navigate, and tells you exactly what you need to do if you want to make a donation online. The other thing is to find, if you're in Canada, find a local grandmother's group and do your donation through that grandmother's group. All kinds of things, you know, you can do to get involved. You can host an event, like I did my birthday party, and any money you raise, donate to the Stephen Lewis Foundation. All kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm. So what is then the biggest challenge that the Go-Go's are facing right now as some of these fundings are drying up?
Well, I think it's to keep the money coming in, and I think we have to double our efforts. We have to raise more money, and we have to keep the public aware that there is this crisis. It's not over. And with the drop in the large funders, there's more need. You know, there's just more need throughout the whole continent. You know, we hear about the struggle in the Horn of Africa right now, and we hear about the refugee camps and the food aid going down, and we just have to work harder, and we can. And working hard to raise money is not difficult. It's fun. So there's no reason why anyone can't do it. It's fun to raise money, and you feel so good when you write that check and you send it off to the foundation. You think, I know that money is going directly to the grassroots, And the administration costs that the foundation takes are very low. You know, they keep theirs, they keep their admin costs very low. In fact, I believe that in the grandmother's campaign funds, so the funds that are raised by grandmother's groups, there's only 10% is taken as administration. There has to be some for administration. So 90%, 90 cents out of every dollar is going directly into the bank account of these grassroots projects.
I can't imagine if there was no go-go's.
Well, thank goodness for Stephen Lewis, because he challenged us, and we're taking it on. And we've become a social movement. There's so many of us now, and we just love it when a new group starts up. I heard today that there might be a new group starting in Whistler. Isn't that great? They're all
yeah.
over. And it just takes a couple of people to start a group going, and then you just start raising money. And raising money means you organize an event. You have lots of fun in the event. We had a Mexican dinner last year. We've been calling our events from Abbotsford to Africa. We've just been calling each event that, whatever it was we were doing. And our last event, we called it from Abbotsford to Africa via Mexico. We took a little detour. And we had this amazing man who used to own a Mexican restaurant. He cooked this amazing, authentic Mexican meal. And we had 100 people, and we raised $5,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, it's that kind of thing. And we can all do those kind of things. They're not even hard to organize. You get a group of women together, everybody does everything.
Yep.
We even clean up after.
I have seen some of those beautiful crafts that the ladies make. Wow.
Oh, aren't they amazing?
They are.
We have a woman in our group who makes book bags. A couple of them used to make those gorgeous go-go bags that are kind of our signature bag with the beads on them. But there are other groups who do a lot more of those. Coquitlam for one, and I believe White Rock for another, and a couple of the other groups do those beautiful beaded bags and sell them for $45.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful. They're really, really, and unique. You talk about unique, they are spectacular. And you know, as everybody listens to us tonight, Jean, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you do, whether you've got a little restaurant, like you say, or if there's something that you might be able to get creative about to raise some money for the Go-Go's so that these children can be supported. Like I said in the beginning of the program, everybody has a right to shelter and food and support. It doesn't matter where you are. This globe, you know, this morning I was at a service that showed a picture of the planet, this beautiful blue ball floating out there in space, and I felt sad and I felt joy at the same time, because that blue ball is not just a lump of dirt floating around, and it's not just a blue ball with shades of light and darkness. The reason why it means something is that it's teeming with life, and like you say, those are our sisters, and they are our children. This global community, in order for our world to change, we have to love across the planet now. It's not about me, me, me anymore. Because without that, everything, we will all go down together.
Absolutely.
I really believe that.
You're right. I believe it too.
So I just invite everyone and encourage everyone to do whatever you can for the Stephen Lewis Foundation, for the Go-Go's, and if that isn't possible, do something. Do something on the ground that makes a difference, rather than saying, oh, isn't this a horrible world? No, it's not. The world is beautiful. Mother Earth has enough to supply us all infinitely forever. It's the consciousness that needs to change. And we can do that in our own worlds, in whatever way that we can. But now's the day to start. And for those, again, who would like to help the Go-Go's, wherever you are, and if you're in an area that doesn't have a Go-Go group, pick one that you can adopt and donate. And it's the Stephen Lewis Foundation with a PH, right, Jean?
Yes.
S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Lewis Foundation. And Jean, I want to thank you so much for being with me tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I feel honored to be able to provide space for the Stephen Foundation and the wonderful Go-Go's that do so much good work in this world. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jeannie. I really appreciate your offer of inviting me to your show. I feel honored to have been invited. Thank you. Thank you for listening to me and asking me those questions.
Well, you're welcome. And hopefully you and I will see each other very soon.
I think we will.
Good. And thank everybody that has listened to us tonight on the Creative Feel. We will be back again 2 weeks from now, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, the Creative Field on Station 1, bbsradio.com. So please join us. And hopefully we've been able to give you a little bit of inspiration about what you can do in these days. There's plenty to do. So thank you all. Thank you, Jean, and we will see you again. Bye for now.